Remember those endless summer days that felt like they just last forever? Sun rays kiss your skin, grass tickles your toes as you bite into the creamy popsicle melting in your hand. Pure, unbothered bliss. Capture more sun-drenched memories with the Orange Vanilla Dream Hydration Multiplier from Liquid IV. This nostalgic vanilla flavor with notes of candied orange can help keep you hydrated while savoring your favorite golden hour moments. No matter how hot your summer gets, just one stick of Liquid IV and 16 ounces of water hydrates you better than water alone. It's three times the electrolytes of the leading sports drink, with 8 vitamins and nutrients for refreshing on-the-go hydration. Live your summer dream with Liquid IV. Tear, pour, live more. Go to liquidiv.com and get 20% off your first order with code INDULGE20 at checkout. That's code INDULGE20 at liquidiv.com. Remember those endless summer days that felt like they just last forever? Sun rays kiss your skin, grass tickles your toes as you bite into the creamy popsicle melting in your hand. Pure, unbothered bliss. Capture more sun-drenched memories with the Orange Vanilla Dream Hydration Multiplier from Liquid IV. This nostalgic vanilla flavor with notes of candied orange can help keep you hydrated while savoring your favorite golden hour moments. No matter how hot your summer gets, just one stick of Liquid IV and 16 ounces of water hydrates you better than water alone. It's three times the electrolytes of the leading sports drink, with 8 vitamins and nutrients for refreshing on-the-go hydration. Live your summer dream with Liquid IV. Tear, pour, live more. Go to liquidiv.com and get 20% off your first order with code INDULGE20 at checkout. That's code INDULGE20 at liquidiv.com.
You're listening to live courtroom coverage of the trial of Karen Reed from the Hidden Killers podcast and True Crime Today. Now, back to the courtroom.
Was that you walking by, Ms. Roberts?
Yes, it was.
Note the time is 6:21:22. Do you know where you walked?
No, I do not.
Are you behind this car, this dash cam view?
Say that again?
Are you behind the view of the dash cam?
I think it looks like I went over to the right of the vehicle.
Okay.
Stop, please.
This is, for the record, 6:23:08. At 6:23:08, are you still beside or behind the view of this car?
I believe so.
And do you know where Ms. McCabe is at this point?
No.
Or the defendant?
No.
Please continue. Ms. Gilman, when it reaches 6:24:18, if you would stop again. At this time, 6:24:18, are you within view of this camera angle?
No.
Where do you think you are in relation to this camera angle at this point?
I'm still either to the right or behind the dash camera.
And do you see the defendant or Ms. McCabe in this view?
No.
And this is at 6:24:18. Could you continue to 6:26:25, Ms. Gilman? Did you notice the first person that came from the right and the second person that are not law enforcement?
That was myself, and I think that's Jen McCabe.
626-25. Continue, please. And do you know who that is on the right with the police officer?
That was Karen.
Do you know where the cell phone is at this point, Mr. O'Keefe's cell phone?
I don't know. I could have handed it to a first responder at this point, or it could still be in my pocket. I'm not sure.
Ms. Gilman, if you could next stop at 63448. Was that you walking by in the street?
Yes. Do you know who you're speaking with? I don't know.
Mr. Brennan, at this point, can we pause this and take our morning recess, please?
Yes, Your Honor, pause, please. Thank you.
Folks, why don't we take 15, 20 minutes?
Court, all right, please. Jurors, close your notebooks, leave them on the chairs, and follow me.
You are muted.
Thank you.
us back in session. You may be seated.
Yes.
Thank you. Ms. Roberts, we have about a minute and a half left. I want to watch the video until it reaches 6:35, please, Ms. Gilman. Do you know where you are at this point, Ms. Roberts?
No.
Okay. You could fast forward just a little bit more, please. Were you in the car?
I just got out of the car.
And do you remember if your car was warm?
Yes.
Stop, please.
6:34:36. Do you see yourself?
Yes, I just got in the driver's side of my car.
And at that point, do you remember whether you still had John's cell phone or you had given it to a first responder?
I don't remember.
Between you having it in your pocket and giving it to a first responder, did you put it or place it anywhere else?
No.
Did you take it out of your pocket and place it in the elements at all?
No.
So it was either in your pocket or in the hands of a first responder?
Yes.
Thank you for your time.
Your Honor, may
Go
I?
Ahead.
Thank you. Good morning, Ms. Roberts. How are you?
Good morning.
Under questioning by Mr. Brennan, you talked about the number of times or a number of times that you have spoken to the DA's office or some member of the DA's office. I'd like to ask you a couple of questions about that.
Sure.
How many times in total do you think you've spoken to a representative of the district attorney's office?
I don't have a number.
Would you say it's more than a dozen?
Yes.
Would you say it's more than 50?
Maybe around there.
Okay.
Maybe less.
And who are the folks, Ms. Roberts, that you have spoken to at the DA's office?
Steve Nelson,
okay.
The victim advocate, Yuri Buchanek, who's a state police officer, and the DA, Michael Morrissey.
And what was the, I want to take those in order, and two of those are at the DA's office. One of those is not, Yuri Buchanek is not at the DA's office. He's actually a Massachusetts state police officer, is that right?
Yes.
Okay, let's take those in order. How many times would you say you've spoken to Mr. Nelson, just if you can give me a thumbnail?
I don't know, maybe 30, 40.
Okay. Have you received what you would consider to be updates on the progress of the case?
I would ask questions, and he would give me very broad answers.
Okay. Were your questions ever prompted by conversations that you had with your friend, Ms. McCabe, Jen McCabe?
Sometimes Jen would say, could you ask Steve this, because I had a rapport with Steve.
Okay. Were those conversations by text message or phone calls or both?
I would usually text him.
Okay. What about the conversation with, or conversations with Mr. Morrissey, the elected district attorney? What were the circumstances under which you contacted Mr. Morrissey?
Well, during the course of this trial, the witnesses have been harassed.
That's not my question.
Objection.
But I'm answering your question.
Hold on. I'm going to sustain the objection. Next question.
Thank you. Were you phoning him? Were you meeting him? Were you texting him? That's my question. The circumstances of the communication itself.
I phoned the office asking for a meeting, had a meeting, and then he left a voicemail at some point and texted me and said, I just left you a voicemail.
Okay. Was that the extent of your conversations with Mr. Morrissey, the elected DA?
I had one other meeting with other witnesses.
Okay.
And the DA.
And turning to Yuri Buchanek, what were the logistics, I'll use that word instead of circumstances, what were the logistics of you contacting Yuri Buchanek? Was it by phone, was it in-person meetings, text messages, or all of the above?
All of the above.
How many times would you say that you've spoken with Yuri Buchanek?
Spoken or communicated?
Sorry, good point, communicated with.
Probably 20.
Okay. When was the last time, actually, let me ask a different question. Have you ever met with Mr. Brennan before your testimony today?
Yes.
What was the circumstance of that meeting?
Going over my testimony from the last trial.
Okay.
And sort of just asking questions on what might come this time. Would I be cross-examined? I wasn't last time. Just sort of, you know, all the things went through my testimony.
Okay. When was that meeting?
I don't know, in the last couple of weeks. I don't know.
Okay. Where was the meeting?
At the DA's office.
Who else was there?
Different times that I would meet with him. Steve Nelson would be there. One time, Brian Tully was there. Mr. Brennan's assistant.
I'm sorry?
Mr. Brennan's assistant.
Okay.
I don't know. Adam Lally and Laura McLaughlin.
Were those meetings, you said there was two meetings? Or did I misunderstand you?
Yeah, I think there were two.
Okay. Were those close in time to one another? You mentioned 2 weeks ago. Were those both 2 weeks?
I said a few weeks ago, but the other meeting was just before I was going to testify.
Meaning, what, yesterday, the day before?
Last week.
Was that also at the DA's office?
Yes, it was.
Were you shown anything at that meeting?
Was I shown anything?
Videos, testimony, transcripts? Reports?
No.
Nothing?
I don't think so.
Okay.
We went over my testimony on the screen. And then I just talked about my testimony from the last time.
Okay. When you say you went over your testimony on screen, what do you mean?
We watched my testimony from the first trial on a TV screen.
Okay. So you were shown something. You were shown a video of your prior testimony.
Yes.
Okay.
So I'd like to see Counsel at sidebar for just a minute, please.
You are...
May I, Your Honor?
Yes.
Thank you. Other than watching your testimony, were you shown anything else? Transcripts, videos, like videos that you may have seen today, dash cam videos, anything like that?
I don't think so.
Okay.
I don't think I was shown anything.
Okay. Did you discuss other parts of your prior testimony?
Yes.
Okay. What was discussed concerning your prior testimony and how it would impact how you testify today on direct examination?
Mr. Brennan had just asked me, can you just tell me what happened? So I told him the story verbally.
Okay. Anything come up about specific instances of how you were going to testify today?
No.
Or yesterday?
No.
Okay. I want to talk to you a little bit, Ms. Roberts, about the video that you were shown by Mr. Brennan. It's the dash cam video of Officer Seraph. I'm not sure if you know which officer that is.
No, I don't.
It's the one that you've been watching.
Okay.
That dash cam that shows your car in the foreground.
Yep.
I'd like to ask you a couple of quick questions about your memory of that incident and then perhaps show you the video depending upon what the answer is.
Sure.
Do you remember when the officer first arrived, you and Ms. Reed specifically were at Mr. O'Keefe's body?
Yes.
Where was Ms. McCabe at that moment?
She was there too, but she was waving down the first responders because it was dark out. And okay. He couldn't see us. He had a spotlight.
You and Ms. Reed were both providing some level of CPR, some level of life-saving efforts.
Yes, as was Ms. McCabe.
What was Ms. McCabe doing?
When I was doing chest compressions and Karen was doing mouth-to-mouth, Jen was either on the phone with 911 or handing me baby blankets.
Okay.
At some point, she did take over doing chest compressions because I asked her to.
Okay. So Ms. Reed was focused on Mr. O'Keefe's head, face area.
Correct.
You were focused on the chest.
Correct.
Ms. McCabe was, at some point at least, she had called 911 or dialed 911.
Yes.
When Ms. McCabe dialed 911 or was on the phone with 911, isn't it true that she was actually in a vehicle at the time?
That is not true.
She was outside?
She was outside.
That's your memory?
Yes.
Okay. Have you heard the 911 tape of that call?
Yes.
Okay. You're aware that that tape was also captured by an open line on Ms. Reed's phone?
Yes.
That open line was, that phone was dropped inside the cab of an SUV?
It was in the back seat, I believe.
Right. So in order for that that open line to capture sort of the background of Ms. McCabe's side of the 911 call, Ms.
Yep.
McCabe would have had to have been either at or in the cab of the truck.
The back of the SUV was open. She was standing there.
Got it. Okay, so she was right next to or adjacent to the cab of the SUV.
She was in back of it with the back was up.
I see, that back hatch?
Yes.
Okay. Do you remember Ms. Reed's statement, her initial statement to Officer Seraph when he got out of his patrol
car? I do not.
Do you remember her saying something to the effect of, my boyfriend, I left him, he never came home?
I do not.
Okay. Have you listened with audio to that dash cam at the moment that Officer Seraph arrives at the scene and y'all flag him down?
We just watched it.
Right. Have you listened to it for the audio side? I mean, in other words, instead of focusing on the video.
No.
Okay. I'd like to ask you to do that with the court's permission. This is exhibit, it's been previously marked as exhibit 4. And with the court's permission, I'd like to play that from runtime about 3:50 and ask the witness to concentrate most readily at about 4:07, maybe
okay.
10 seconds into it. I'm going to give a little run up and then ask you to listen very
okay.
closely to the audio.
Yep.
With the court's permission?
Yes.
Okay, Evan. Okay, stop. Do you recognize the video as being the same video that you saw and you looked at on direct examination?
Yes.
Okay, in just a quick second, the door to the car, you're gonna hear it open. I'd like to ask you to pay special attention to the audio portion and Ms. Reed's voice.
Okay.
If you can hear it. Go ahead. Stop. Did you hear that last statement?
No.
Did you hear a woman's voice kind of faint
in the background? I heard a voice, but I didn't make out what she was saying.
Okay. Did it sound like she said, my boyfriend, I dropped him off and he never came home?
Objection.
Could you hear that, Ms. Roberts?
No.
Okay.
Next question.
That's all I have for the video. We can take that down. You talked about, on direct examination, some of the injuries that you saw Mr. O'Keefe having suffered, both what you observed at the scene and then what you observed later at the hospital.
Yep.
And you noted those injuries, correct?
Say it again?
You noted those injuries. Those were...
Yes.
You made note of those.
Yes.
Or at least some of them. You said that you saw a hematoma of some sort over his right eye, is that right?
Correct.
And there was some significant swelling to his right eye?
Correct.
At the scene?
Correct.
Did you also notice a laceration just above his right eye, just under the eyebrow?
I saw it at the hospital, but okay. I don't know if at the scene I saw it.
Fair enough. At some point you saw that laceration to his right eye?
Yes, I did.
Did you also see a laceration to the left side of his nose, a smaller laceration to the left side of his nose?
I don't recall. I know there was blood coming from here, but I don't know if it was coming from inside his nose or from a laceration. I don't know.
When you said here, you're pointing to the left side of your nostril.
Yes.
And basically just above the nostril, correct?
Yes, right around the nostril, there was blood coming this way.
Okay, draining to the left side of his cheek?
Yes.
Okay. You also saw, once you got to the hospital, that his left eye had swollen as well.
Now, both eyes were swollen and filled with what looked like blood.
And his left eye was black as well as his right eye?
Correct.
Okay. You also indicated that you saw, well, actually, I don't know if you did or not, so I don't want to put words in your mouth. I apologize. Did you see his right arm?
I did.
Did it appear to you that he had some abrasions or lacerations, parallel abrasions and lacerations and punctures on his right arm?
They were scratches.
Scratches. Ms. Roberts, you've previously testified that when you arrived, let me take you back instead of jumping right into it. After you met up with Ms. Reed at Jen McCabe's house mm-hmm. that morning, so this is just after 5 o'clock or so, the three of you arrived back at One Meadows, correct?
Correct.
Is that right? I'm sorry.
Correct.
Okay. You're trailing the Lexus SUV, correct?
Correct.
The Lexus pulls in to the driveway and you pull in directly behind Ms. Reed and Jennifer McCabe is driving.
Correct.
You're driving your SUV, correct?
Correct.
You've previously testified that when you arrived at One Meadows at that moment, that once that SUV, the Lexus SUV, had pulled in and you pulled in behind the Lexus, you got out of the Lexus, sorry, you got out of your SUV, they got out of the Lexus, and that's a point at which Karen showed you the back of her taillight and said something to the effect of, do you think I hit him? Do you think I hit him? Oh my God, do you think I hit him? Do you recall that?
I recall saying I didn't know if it was when we were coming or going, but she did point out the taillight.
Okay. When you previously testified under oath, your quote was, quote, Karen pulls in and I pull in behind her.
Mr. Jackson.
Give page and line numbers when
yes.
offering statements.
Sure. It's the SGJ, the grand jury. page 58, lines 14 through 19 for court and counsel.
Thank you.
Did you testify, quote, Karen pulls in and I pull in behind her, period. When we get out and Karen is now showing us the back of the car saying, my taillight, do you think I hit him? Do you think I hit him? Oh my God, do you guys think I hit him? Question mark. End quote. Is that how you testified?
May I see it?
Sure. I apologize, I've already got it up here.
Does it have a date on it, Mr. Jackson?
It does. May I approach?
Yes.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you. Do you have the pages after this?
I'm sure I do.
Because in the pages after this,
question,
I say...
My question, Ms. Roberts, is that a quote that I just said, is that accurate? Do you see it in the...
Yes, it is.
Okay. May I approach?
Yes.
Your Honor, may I approach?
Yes.
One more time.
Thank you.
Just for reference, I'm going to show you both pages. That's the page I asked you to look at, and then the following page as well. Please take your time.
Okay. What I'm looking for is still not here, because I did say I wasn't sure if it was before or after.
Ms. Roberts, you do have to wait for a question.
Okay.
When you gave this testimony, you were in front of a grand jury, correct?
I'm not sure which one that is.
Do you remember testifying in front of a grand jury on April 26th, 2022?
Yes.
Okay, about 2 years ago.
Yes.
3 years ago. You were under oath at the time. Is that right?
Yes.
Things were fresher in your mind at that time than they are now, 3.5 years later, I'm guessing. Correct?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay. You were asked the question to describe the circumstance when you arrived at One Meadows. Is that right?
Yes.
And the answer that you gave was, quote, we pulled into the, it's a driveway, there's two cars, and then two cars, then a single, so John's car is there. Karen pulls in, and I pull in behind her. When we get out, and Karen is now showing us the back of the car, saying, my taillight, do you think I hit him? Do you think I hit him? Oh my God, do you guys think I hit him? That was your testimony at the time, correct?
Yes.
And just to be clear, I'd like to take a look at a quick video that you may or may not have seen before. We'll find out. Your Honor, I'd like to have this. Actually, this has already been previously marked as Exhibit 12C, as in Charlie.
Okay.
And it's a short clip, so I'll play the entire clip with the court's permission.
Okay.
Let's go ahead and take a look at that video. Pause. Do you recognize what's depicted in the video?
Yeah, that's when we arrived at John's house.
Okay. And who's the person with the plaid red pants?
That is Jen.
And who's the person that's just rounding the back of the car in front?
That is Karen.
What is the car in front?
That's Karen's SUV.
That's the Lexus SUV?
Yes, it is.
behind that Lexus SUV, Ms. Roberts, is there another car?
That's my car.
And who's getting out of that car?
I am.
Okay. And this is the point that you were describing in your, at least in the grand jury testimony at that time.
Yes.
This is the time that you're describing.
That I thought it was when we walked in.
This is the time that you were describing, right? When you arrive at the scene.
Yes.
Or, I'm sorry, arrive at One Meadows.
Yes.
Okay. Let's go ahead and play this through. Okay. You can stop it. And you can bring the lights up. You saw the interaction between all three of you and the vehicles, correct?
Yep.
At any point, did anybody stop and take a look at the taillight or the rear end of the car?
Not when we were entering the house like I thought, but when we came out.
Okay. And there's no video of that?
I'm sorry?
There's no video of that?
No, I don't believe so.
Right. So the video that does exist describes nearly exactly the time that you testified that y'all stopped at the back of the taillight and Karen said, look, my taillight's broken. Oh my God, do you think I hit him?
Correct.
Right? Okay. And that obviously was incorrect.
It was incorrect.
So your memory was faulty about that incident, that part of that incident at least.
It happened on the way out of the house.
So your memory was faulty about that part of the incident that you testified to at the grand jury?
Yes.
Okay. You were interviewed on January 29th. You've already testified to that, correct?
By yes.
Troopers Dunn and my memory's failing me now.
There were two. I don't know who they were.
Okay. I'm sure it's in my notes somewhere. Two individuals that interviewed you on January 29th, correct?
Yes.
Obviously, things were very, very fresh in your mind at that point.
Yes, but I believe I was in shock, so...
The incident had just happened?
Yes.
Okay, and you were asked to recount certain of the specifics about the incident that you had just experienced, not days or weeks, but just hours before, correct?
Yes.
Okay. And you did your best, I'm sure, Ms. Roberts, to be as full-throated as possible, to provide them with as much detailed information as you could and to be as honest as you could.
Yes.
I mean, you weren't going to lie to these police officers, right?
No.
In your very first conversation with those two troopers on January 29th, you didn't mention anything about a taillight or a cracked taillight, or
no,
even
I did not.
Seen a cracked taillight, did
no,
you?
No, I did not.
Okay.
I didn't want to accuse anybody of anything.
You were then interviewed on February 1st, 2022, a few days later, correct?
I don't know.
Does that sound right?
I don't know
right?
the exact date. I was interviewed again, but I don't know the exact date.
Okay. During your interview, let me withdraw that and ask a different question. On February 1st, or whatever day it was, the subsequent time that you were interviewed just a few days later, you did then for the first time describe the taillight that you saw, correct?
I don't know.
Would it refresh your recollection if you looked at a report?
Yes, please.
Okay. Let me have just a moment, Your Honor.
Sure.
May I approach?
Yes.
I'm handing you a two-page report, Ms. Roberts. I've put a little dot on the second page just to direct your attention to the discussion related to the taillight, if you want to take a look at that.
Okay.
Okay. May I?
Yes.
Does that refresh your recollection that you were interviewed on February 1st, 2022 by a trooper by the name of Connor Keefe and a trooper by the name of Kathleen Prince?
Yes. Did Connor Keefe write that report?
I'm sorry?
Did Connor Keefe write that report?
Trooper Kathleen Prince wrote the report.
Okay.
Does that matter? No?
Nope.
Okay. Does that refresh your recollection that you did discuss the taillight at that time?
Yes.
And did you tell Trooper Prince and Trooper Keefe that you noticed the back right taillight in the middle, quote, in the middle, your words, was broken and a piece of the metal encasement was pushed forward?
Yes.
Okay. You didn't say that the taillight was completely shattered, correct?
Correct.
You didn't say that the entire lens was missing, correct?
Correct.
You said it was broken in the middle, is that
yes.
right? And then you described today that a square piece was missing.
Yes, that's the piece I was referring to, in the middle.
Just in the middle of the taillight, though. That was how you described it.
Yes.
Okay. I'd like to shift gears for a quick second and talk about a March 7th, 2023 text message with victim witness advocate Steve Nelson. Do you remember communicating, you don't have to know the exact date, but if you do, fine. Do you remember communicating in March of 2023 with victim witness advocate Steve Nelson about the Ring camera at One Meadows?
I don't know the exact date, but yes.
Okay. Is it true that you contacted him to inform him that the O'Keefes needed to replace or wanted to replace the driveway Ring camera, that same Ring camera that we just literally saw through that perspective
yes.
of you arriving?
Yes.
Did Mr. Nelson indicate that he believed that would be fine to replace that Ring camera if the O'Keefes wished to do that?
I don't remember if he said it would be fine, but at some point they were told they could replace it. It had broken. It wasn't working.
Did he indicate that he would check with DDA Adam Lally and then get back to you?
I don't know.
At some point, you were informed that the O'Keefes had the green light or the go-ahead to replace that Ring camera at One Meadows. Is that right?
Yes.
Okay. And then ultimately you then relayed that to the O'Keefes that they have the green light. You've talked to somebody at the DA's office and they said, yeah, go ahead and replace the camera, correct?
Yes.
Okay. Did you ever receive any kind of response from the DA's office either before or after you relayed this information to the O'Keefes to say, wait, hold on, we need to do a reconstruction. We need to make sure that the camera is in the exact same spot that it was at the time of the incident?
No.
Any communication like that?
No.
So the communication that you got was, yep, go ahead and replace it. It's no big deal.
Correct.
Okay. And ultimately, you learned that the O'Keefes did, in fact, replace that Ring camera.
Correct.
You have already described your relationship, at least in part, with Canton Police Officer Sergeant Michael Lank, correct?
Yes.
He is friends with you?
His daughter is friends with my daughter.
You're friendly with the family?
Yes.
Okay. And you're aware that he's also friends with the Albert family?
No.
Were you aware that Michael Lank grew up with Chris Albert?
I was not.
Have you ever been in a social setting with both the Lanks and the Alberts?
No.
You're aware, obviously, you were at the scene. He was the first officer to respond to the crime scene at 34 Fairview on January 29th after Officer Seraf and after Mulaney arrived. Right? Then it was Sergeant Lank.
I don't know which order. I did see Sergeant Lank there, yes.
Was he the... Excuse me, sir. I was just reminded, you indicated that you don't remember the date of that text communication between yourself and Mr. Nelson.
No, I don't remember the date.
Would it refresh your recollection if you looked at a text message between the two of you about this, the subject of the Ring camera?
Sure.
Okay.
Do I need to know the date?
May I approach?
I need to know the date.
Oh, okay. That's sorry.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Is it March 7th, 2023?
Does that refresh your recollection?
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you, Robert. You indicated that you did recognize Sergeant Lank at the scene.
Yes, I did.
You had a conversation with him?
No. I said, Mike, is that you? He said yes, and that was it.
All right. Following that, the next day, you did go to his house. You've already described that.
I did.
You indicated that you went to his house to drop off your daughter for a play date. Is that right?
Yes.
But you also indicated that you took Jennifer McCabe with you.
Yes, because I drove Jen McCabe to the O'Keefe's house, so she was leaving to go home with me. So I was going to drop her off.
Okay, so your memory is you took Miss McCabe from where over to the Lank's house?
I think she was at home.
So you picked her up?
Yes.
At her house?
Yes.
With anybody else?
With my daughter, my son. I picked up her and either one or two of her daughters, I don't remember.
And then you drove over to the Lank's house, is that right?
No, I drove to the O'Keefe's house.
First?
Yes.
And what did you do with the O'Keefe's
house? Then left a couple of kids and my daughter wanted to go to the Lank's house, so I drove my daughter to the Lank's house before driving home.
And Jen's child was with you on the way from Jen's house over to the O'Keefe's house?
Yes, one or two daughters, I don't know.
Dropped the one or two kids off at the O'Keefe's, is that right?
As well as my son.
As well as your son. Then you went to drop off your daughter for the play date.
Well, she was 13, so it wasn't a play date.
Whatever, I don't know what you call
I know,
it.
I know.
I don't have a 13-year-old. What a date, whatever it is.
So she went over to her friend's house, yes.
Okay. But you took Jennifer McCabe with you?
Yes, because I was driving her home.
Back to her house without her kids?
Yes, she was going home.
Were you going to go back to the O'Keefe's and pick up her kids and then take all of them home?
I didn't have a plan. I mean, Patrick,
okay,
nephew is my son's best friend.
Got it.
So he wanted to be with him.
Okay. Did you... I think you just answered this, but I want to make sure I'm clear about it. You didn't take separate cars. You all went in the same car. Is that right?
Correct.
Okay. Did anybody stop by or go by 34 Fairview during that roundabout?
No.
Nobody stopped off at 34 Fairview either on the way or on the way back?
No.
Okay.
I don't believe so. That wouldn't be the route in which to get to my house.
Right, exactly. You indicated that you stayed, even though you were dropping off your daughter, y'all stayed, you and Miss McCabe stayed at Sergeant Lank's house for some 45 minutes. Does that sound about right?
Yeah.
And Sergeant Lank's wife, you indicated, was in the back seat of your car?
Yes.
Did y'all ever go inside the house?
Jen went in to go to the bathroom.
Was Sergeant Lank there?
I don't know. I didn't go in.
You didn't have any communications with Sergeant Lank?
I'm sorry?
You didn't have any communications with Sergeant Lank himself, Mike Lank, on that trip?
No, I did not.
But you don't know whether or not Jen did?
I don't know whether or not Jen did. She went in the house to go to the bathroom.
Okay. You've indicated that there have been occurrences in which Jennifer McCabe has asked you to contact the DA's office on her behalf to ask a question here or there, get some information, correct?
To Steve Nelson, yes.
Okay. How many times, just the number of times, the volume, would you say that Ms. McCabe has asked you to reach out to the DA's office in one particular or another?
I don't think very many.
What does that mean? Of the 50 times that you've had communications?
No, maybe like four. Not many, to my knowledge.
When you would, on these four occasions or four or so occasions, when you would reach out to the DA's office, gather information, whatever that information may be, mm-hmm. Would you then report that information back to Ms. McCabe?
Yes.
You obviously understand the importance of providing statements to law enforcement that are free of influence of other people, other witnesses. Is that right?
Say it again.
You understand the importance of providing information to law enforcement as a witness to law enforcement free of influence from other people.
Yeah.
In other words, you want to be as accurate and as independent as possible.
Yes.
And that's because if your statement is somehow, or if your communications with law enforcement are somehow influenced by others, it might call into question the credibility of the person providing the statement.
Objection.
Can you answer that question, Ms. Roberts?
No.
Okay, next question.
Sure. A statement that's been colored by influence from someone else would lack credibility, right?
Objection.
Sustained.
I want to talk about the statements in the prior testimony that you have provided in this case, Ms. Roberts. There's been several of them. The first time you told your story to law enforcement was on January 29th. We've already established that, correct?
Say that again?
It was on January 29th, the first time you relayed your story to law enforcement.
Yes.
And that was to Trooper Dunn and Trooper DeChico. That's the name I couldn't remember.
I don't remember.
But you do remember Trooper Dunn.
I remember two troopers. I don't know their name.
Okay. Where did that interview take place?
In my dining room.
And who was with you when you gave that interview, if anybody?
My husband was home. I think my daughter was home at that point. My husband was home. I don't know if the kids were home.
Nobody else from outside the family?
No.
Okay. Who contacted you about doing that interview? How did they know to come to you at your home?
I don't remember. They may have just shown up. I don't remember.
Okay. Do you remember what time the interview was?
Maybe around dinner time, maybe around 5, 6.
Was it recorded?
I'm sorry?
Was it recorded in any way? Tape recorder running?
I don't think so.
The troopers were taking notes, obviously?
I believe so.
During your conversation with... And I'm jumping around a bit, so I apologize. During your conversation or conversations with Mr. Brennan and the DA's members of the DA's office in preparation for your testimony, were any of those interviews recorded?
No.
Was anybody taking notes?
No.
None of the DA's were actually taking notes, the ADAs?
I didn't look around the table to see if anyone was taking notes, but I didn't see them taking notes.
No pads and pens on the table?
There was a lot of stuff on the table, but I didn't see anybody taking notes.
Okay. You received a phone call just before that interview started at 5:25 p.m., correct?
Around 5 o'clock, 6 o'clock. Is this the night of the 29th, you mean?
This is the night of... I'm jumping back to the night of the 29th.
Yeah, I'm not following you very well.
That's okay. On the 29th,
yeah.
When you were interviewed around 5:25 p.m., maybe just a little bit before that,
yeah.
You received a phone call just before that, correct?
I do not know.
Isn't it true that Jen McCabe called you and spoke to you just before that?
I spoke to Jen McCabe the entire day.
Okay. Including just before that interview?
I don't know.
Did you tell Jen McCabe that you were about to be interviewed?
No.
Did you tell her at some point did you text her and tell her that the officers had arrived?
I don't think so.
Did she text you back and say, call me right after?
I don't know.
Okay. During the course of that interview, when the incident was still pretty fresh in your mind, you indicated that At about 5 a.m., you got a call from Karen Reed indicating that John never came home and that she was worried, correct?
Correct.
You also indicated that she was worried that John may be walking and may have gotten hit by a plow. You relayed that to the officers?
Yes.
You indicated that you met up with Karen Reed and Jennifer McCabe at Jennifer McCabe's house, and Karen was hysterical and worried that something had happened to John.
Yes.
You also indicated that once you were at 34 Fairview, once y'all had made your way over to 34 Fairview, Karen saw John and ran to him, although you and Jennifer didn't see him initially, correct?
That's correct.
You said that Karen was repeating the phrase, "Is he dead? Is he dead?" over and over. Is that right?
That is correct.
You also indicated that if anything happened to John, she'd kill herself, correct?
That's what she said to me.
Object.
So the objection sustained.
Did you indicate at any time, I'm sorry, let me ask it a different way. Did either of the troopers indicate to you after your initial interview that if there was anything further that you could recall that would be useful, please provide it. Please give it to at that time.
I don't know.
Okay. Would it refresh your recollection to look at that January 29th report?
Sure.
Second page of that report, January 29th. And there, I put a little mark by paragraph 5. You can take a look at that.
Okay.
Ma'am?
Yes.
During this interview with Trooper Dunn and Trooper DeChico, they indicated after you gave your statement that if you wish to provide anything additional, now is the time to do it.
Objection.
Sustained.
Right? Were you informed that you were limited on time in that interview? Meaning, we got to get this done, we're leaving, we're out of time.
No.
They didn't cut you off, correct?
No.
They didn't tell you that they had a limited amount of information that they wanted and then they were just going to leave, correct?
I don't remember. I don't recall.
As a matter of fact, they told you that anything you wanted to provide to them, provide it. Give them as much detail as you could, correct?
I don't recall.
Okay. You just read the last statement that these troopers indicated, correct? If there was anything further she could recall that would be useful, please provide that information.
Object.
Sustained.
Donna, may we approach?
Yes.
May I?
Yes.
Thank you. Having looked at the report...
No. Bring it to her and show it to her again.
She's just... it's the same thing that I just showed her. Having looked at the report, does that refresh your recollection about what Trooper Paul... Trooper Dunn and DeChico told you at the end of the interview?
I don't recall. It's not refreshing. I'm not remembering it. Even reading it, I'm not remembering it.
I see. Okay. Fair enough. So as you sit here, the details about what you told or what those two officers told you are not fresh in your mind and... nothing's refreshing your recollection about that.
Right.
Okay. But you do remember the basics of what I just described in that conversation with those two troopers.
I mean, they asked me what happened. I told them, but I was also in shock.
You never said during the course of that interview that my client called you at 5 o'clock in the morning just hours earlier and said he's dead and then hung up, correct?
No, I don't believe I said it at that point. It did not. I did not remember that until a couple of days later.
I see. And in fact, when you were asked about that particular statement, I'm sorry, when you were asked about that particular series of events, that never came to your mind.
No.
That literally, the first words out of Karen Reed's mouth, according to you now, is he's dead, and then hung up.
Correct.
When you heard that, you didn't take that to mean that she killed him.
No.
Of course not. She was panicked, correct?
Yes.
You did add that, I'm sorry, one other thing that you didn't add in your initial statement to Trooper Dunn and Trooper DeChicco is anything about the taillight either, correct?
Not.
Okay.
Jimmy.
And you also didn't say anything about any sort of a Google search or the praying that you talked about in the back of the patrol car, anything like that?
No.
Okay.
I don't know. I don't remember.
The second time you were interviewed, that was the February 1st interview. That was with Kathleen Prince and Connor Keefe, correct? And you've just looked at that report, at least part of that report. Is that right?
Say it again.
Connor Keefe and Kathleen Prince, that was on February 1st, 3 days after your initial statement, correct?
I don't remember the date, but I remember meeting with them.
Okay. I want to make sure I get the dates down, so I'm sorry to belabor this, but...
May I approach?
Yes.
Would it refresh your recollection if you were looking at the report of that interview?
It might.
Okay. First paragraph.
Thanks. Am I reading the whole thing or just the part where you dotted?
Just if it refreshes your recollection.
Oh. Oh, for the date, yes.
May I approach?
Yes.
What date was it that you met with me?
February 1st.
Okay.
That second interview was conducted at 12 Country Lane, correct?
Yes.
And who again lives at 12 Country Lane?
Jennifer McCabe.
So the second time you told your memory, your story to law enforcement, you were literally sitting in Jennifer McCabe's house.
Yes.
And you had met with Jennifer McCabe before your interview, correct?
Yes. We were putting a timeline together.
So you two were actually prepping, if that's a valid term, prepping for your interview, putting a timeline together, correct?
We were putting a timeline together at the request of Mrs. O'Keefe.
And Jennifer McCabe, was helping you with the timeline, and you were helping her with the timeline.
Yes, we were putting together the events of what had happened.
So she was helping you, and you were helping her, yes or no?
Yes.
Okay. So both of you were assisting in each other's memories, correct?
Yes.
I remember this, and you remember this, and you know, okay, now I remember this, correct?
Yep.
Obviously, that would help influence your memory. Going
yes.
over the event with someone else, correct?
Yeah.
So what's on that timeline, you would agree, is not completely independent, your memory. It's a combination of your memory and Jennifer McCabe's memory. Isn't that right?
Yes.
May I have just a moment, Your Honor?
Yes.
There's more live courtroom coverage coming up. Press subscribe now so you don't miss a second from the Hidden Killers podcast and True Crime Today.